It's just after 6 o'clock here on 88.7 WLUW Chicago. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from the 100-watt, thank God for the 21st Amendment radio station, 88.7, and podcasting exclusively on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, coming to you from a soundproof booth on the site of Mike Stevens' great-grandparents' beauty salon slash bootlegging operation on Division Street. This is another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Yeah, little announcer guy, very thankful for the 21st Amendment, isn't he?
Yeah, we were talking before the show. This is a holiday for him.
It really is. And it should be a holiday for all of us who would like to imbibe on occasion. Welcome to Outside the Loop Radio. I am your host, Mike Steven.
And I am your executive producer, Andy Herman.
And this is a show that airs every Friday at 6 p.m. right here on WLUW 88.7. It's a show that takes a look at issues and topics that are all local, happening here in our community of Chicago. So this is a place for further discussion about these important issues and topics that are going on. And it's not always hard news. We tackle everything, don't we, Andy?
Yes, we do.
That's what I was trying to say. Maybe it's the booze talking. Well, this, like we said, a very important and historic day, because today, December the 5th, is the 75th anniversary of the 21st Amendment. That is the amendment that repealed the 18th Amendment, which was Prohibition. Cannot believe that ever happened. I mean, it really is incredible to think that ever happened.
Yeah, it's so ubiquitous in our society. We enjoy imbibing now and then, but to think for 24 years in this country, it was not legal to drink booze.
Unbelievable. And where we're in right now, in the soundproof booth on the site of my great-grandparents, they had a beauty salon, and in the back, they would bootleg gin.
I just learned this about your family.
They're great, aren't they?
They're great Americans.
My grandma would tell me stories how when she was a little girl, she would just be sitting on these big barrels with like tablecloths over them, and she didn't know, because she was a little girl. She didn't know what they were. And then when she grew up, she found out, oh yeah, by the way, those were big barrels of gin.
Oh, that's fantastic.
God bless them. I love my family. Lots of great traditions. Hey, one of the traditions that we're starting to develop here on Outside the Loop Radio is that of the OTL News Desk with a cheesy theme. I love this. It's something that we do from time to time. This is the second week in a row. I don't know if people can handle 2 weeks in a row of the OTL News Desk.
I'm really enjoying our visits here.
I am your intrepid reporter, Mike Steven, with Andy Herman, the weatherman. Some stuff that we have to bring you up to date about. First of all, this topic that we have covered a couple times here on Outside the Loop about Wilson Yard. And we've interviewed the president of a group called Fix Wilson Yard. That is a group that is organizing, has organized, and it's all about this issue in Uptown on Broadway and Montrose about this big piece of property called the Wilson Yard. It's pretty much a vacant lot right now. The city said that there would be a certain kind of development, and that's not exactly what it's turned out to be, or at least now that the plans have come out, that's not really what it is.
Right.
So Fix Wilson Yard is trying to have some accountability from the city, saying, look, we don't want all this low-income housing in this case. There's a lot of low-income housing going up there. We've tried to get the other side of the story from the alderman of the 46th Ward, where Wilson Yard is, Alderman Schiller, Alderman Helen Schiller. We have repeatedly tried to contact her office to no avail. She has not responded, nor has anyone from her office.
So nothing at all, not even an auto response.
Alderman Schiller, if you're out there, don't turn this into a Alderman Vidaly thing. What I keep calling you and emailing, and you never get back to me. Please come on the show. We would like to talk to you about this topic, so don't be afraid of the media.
Mm-mm.
It's all good. We're good, right? Just say yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Also, another topic here. Before I leave the Wilson Yard thing, there was a press conference, actually, this week.
Oh, yeah?
And downtown at the Richard J. Daley Center, announcing that Fix Wilson Yard, the group that I just talked about, has filed a lawsuit against the city of Chicago for tax increment finance abuse. So that was big. They had a big fundraiser at Ye Olde Nick's Uptown this week for Fix Wilson Yard, so I'm sure everyone was hammered there. And that's the latest, what's going on with that. So fixwilsonyard.org, but we would love to talk to Alderman Helen Schiller to get her side of the story. Now, moving on here, last week we had Mike Doyle, who is a blogger, and his blog is ChicagoCarless.com. He blogged about the CTA putting up the signs banning continuous riding on the L. And basically, for all intents and purposes, it's banning homeless people riding the L continuously in order to stay warm during the winter.
Right.
He's been picked up now by all kinds of other blogs. I think 848 had him on, but we had him first.
Yes, we did.
Take that, Richard Steele. The Chicago Coalition for the Homeless has now gotten involved on this issue, and they are tracking the CTA's crackdown on homeless riders.
Right.
So now I think this is good, because really we should have some compassion for our fellow human beings, especially when it's like, you know, 20 degrees outside, like this week. Mm-hmm. It really got cold and it started snowing. Not good. HomelessChicago.org is the other website you could check out. But the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, it's easy for me to say, is in on this. And ChicagoCarless.com is where you could see the blog post, in addition to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. Oh, there it is. We're done. We're done, huh?
It's been another edition of the OTL News Desk. OTL number 115 with your host, Mike Stephen.
And Andy Herman, executive producer. Thank you, Andy. Later on this edition of Outside the Loop Radio, number 115. I love that theme.
Oh, boy.
What are we doing, my friend?
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about how the Obama presidency might affect education here in Chicago schools. And before that, I've got to take you to task on a little something.
Oh, well, stay tuned for that. Before all that goodness, we will be checking in with a local politician and some budgetary issues here in Cook County. You don't want to miss my conversation with Forrest Claypool. The local music on this week's show comes from the band Icy Demons. They are playing coming up tomorrow night at the Bottom Lounge, the brand new Bottom Lounge on Lake Street. That's an 8 p.m. show. IcyDemons.com is their website, and you can check them out at that site and listen to them right now here on Outside the Loop Radio. I am your host, Mike Stephen, in the soundproof booth with executive producer Andy Herman right here on WLUW. Recently, Cook County Board President Todd Stroger released his 2009 Cook County budget proposal, a proposal that calls for $2.9 billion in spending, but it rests on borrowing hundreds of millions of dollars. With us on the phone right now to talk about this proposed budget is Cook County Commissioner Forrest Claypool. He is the commissioner from the 12th District. Commissioner Claypool, great to talk to you.
Sure, thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. Let's talk about it. This recent budget proposal, as I said, $2.9 billion in spending. Now, from what you've seen, you've come out and you've said that this budget initially contained many errors and misinformation. Explain this for us. What did you see initially?
Well, I mean, just numbers that didn't add up. I mean, the budget was incompetently put together. Three different numbers for the proposed spending in the Health Bureau, the three hospitals and the clinics. Columns that didn't add up, sales tax revenue that was different in one part of the book and a different number in another part of the book. Hard to make sense of, but fundamentally, the one thing that is clear is that Todd Stroger is proposing to borrow $700 million to balance this budget just months after getting the largest tax increase in the history of the county, $400 million in new revenue. So what the budget really does is begs the question, where did all that new money go that he now has to resort to borrowing just to pay the bills?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Like you said, the plan is to borrow roughly $700 million. Now, this is coming off of an increase in the Cook County sales tax last year. That being said, you've got the sales tax increase, so there should be more money coming into Cook County. Why would we need to borrow all this money?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, when Stroger pushed this tax increase through, he said it was even more than he needed, and that he might give some back at some point. But clearly, like I said, less than 6 months after getting $400 million in new revenue, He now says we actually have to borrow hundreds of millions more, and his rationale is flimsy. I think what it really is going on here, I believe, is this is a re-election document. He wants the board to coerce the board into giving him hundreds of millions of dollars of borrowed money on top of the sales tax money, to essentially to cover up the mismanagement and malfeasance of the government until he can get through the February 2010. Primary re-election, which is 14 months away, and then I think, and also this would give him the opportunity to hand out a lot of big contracts to donors and contributors for that campaign. And then I think after the election, I think we could expect to see tax increase number two, because somebody has to pay all this money back.
So basically what you're saying is that if the borrowing of the money goes through, right now there won't be a tax increase, but look what's going to happen after the election.
Right, and the Tribune has been explicit about this. They've essentially said that this is a backdoor tax increase. And I think the Tribune is right. It's a backdoor tax increase. It's a way of, if the board is so irresponsible as to allow Mr. Strozier to borrow $700 million following the largest tax increase in Cook County history, I think that will be the fate of the taxpayers, to be hit once again after the election. I think this is clearly the strategy that Strozier's pursuing, and it also, would be yet another year or two before there was any effort to reform county government, to streamline these bloated, patronage-laden operations. Just to, another year or two of the, Todd Strozier friends and family plan, take care of all the insiders at the expense of the people who actually pay the freight.
This plan to borrow money, if you could explain how this is going to work, because as we know, the money has to come from somewhere. Exactly where would this money be borrowed from?
Well, what Strozier's proposing is to issue bonds, government bonds, which is the way governments borrow money. They issue it to bondholders who purchase them. They have the full faith and credit of the government, so there's high expectations they'll be paid back. They have to pay interest payments to the bondholders, and that means the taxpayers are on the hook for interest payments and principal payments, sort of like a mortgage, and that's what he's proposing to do here. And, some of the borrowing is legitimate. There's a small number of capital improvement projects that deserve to be funded, and traditionally you can borrow for those, like a new roof for the hospital, stuff like that. But the vast majority of this borrowing is to do fun things like pay the bills, pay lawyers' fees, pay compensation claims, pay pension payments, things that every other government funds with normal operating revenue. As the Tribune has pointed out, the analogy would be to a homeowner would be if you took out a second mortgage just to pay your grocery and cable bills, and that's essentially what Strozier is proposing.
As a member of the Cook County Board, then do you, as a commissioner, and the rest of the commission have to vote on this borrowing?
Yes, there was an initial vote that sailed through 12-4, and then you guys in the media jumped in and said, "What's wrong with this picture here? You just got the biggest tax increase in history. Now you're borrowing money." And once the bright light of the media scrutiny came on, then a lot of the commissioners who had voted for it flipped. So we suddenly had some new allies. And so far, we've been able to block it. But I'm fearful that Strozier will get the ninth vote, and this irresponsible money grab will go through.
So you're planning to vote against the borrowing?
Yes, and I think the key is additional public pressure. I think it's important for people to understand, as the Tribune has editorialized, that this is a backdoor tax increase, that if Strozier gets his way here and is able to borrow $700 million so on the heels of this massive $400 million tax increase, that it's just a prescription for a second tax increase, and that's economic disaster in the county at a time when people are struggling, families are living from paycheck to paycheck, their incomes are declining, they're trying to tighten their belts, businesses are struggling, and this tax is added to that burden. My wife was at the store the other day and objected to the price that was rung up because it was so much above the sales price. And the manager said, he forgot to factor in taxes. He said, "You've been Strozierized." I think a lot of businesses out there, and consumers have been Strozierized, and I'm fearful there'll be more of that unless the board stands firm here.
Strozierized, I like that term, and coined right here on Outside the Loop Radio. That is the program you're listening to. Forrest Claypool is on the line with us right now. He is a Cook County commissioner from the 12th District. Now, Commissioner Claypool, you are obviously against this approach that Cook County Board President Todd Strozier is taking with the budget. What would your approach be to this budget situation?
Well, you know, 2 years ago, I proposed an alternative budget that would have cut layers and layers of bureaucracy, patronage employees, consolidated offices, and avoided, you know, both the tax increase that Todd Strozier foisted on people and also these deep cuts he made in law enforcement and health care. I would pursue that kind of a plan. I would also pursue new technologies to bring in convenience fee revenues and through electronic courts, through paperless filings in the court system where we have customers willing to pay the county money. And I would also shake up the Health Bureau, which, in 2006 alone did not even bill $250 million that was due and owing taxpayers for services from the Health Bureau that was owed from private insurance companies and Medicaid. It's just the rampant mismanagement, the incompetence of the political appointees creates excessive costs, which are then borne by the taxpayers in tax increase after tax increase as the years go by. At some point, the cycle has to break, and I think for a lot of the voters, they have a chance 14 months from now in the February 2nd primary to throw the rascals out, to use the old phrase.
Yeah, I think it's incredible to think that, as you said, we're only 14 months away from this next election. And really, this economic issue, as we saw in the national presidential campaign, is really important to people and really can make a difference in those who are seeking public office or are seeking to retain their seats. And before I let you go here, Commissioner Claypool, you and Commissioner Mike Quigley have aligned on a lot of the issues, and many times you have been in direct opposition to Cook County Board President Todd Strozier. Now, Commissioner Quigley has announced that he is planning to seek Rahm Emanuel's old congressional seat in the 5th District. You, however, will be you will stay in the on the Cook County Board and work there. But any concern, maybe if Mike Quigley wins and leaves the Cook County Board, you will have lost an ally and maybe someone who could really stand up to Todd Strozier?
Well, that's certainly a concern. Right now, despite Mike's presence, though, we're still a vote or two short of really having an independent, you know, reform-oriented board, or at least the makings of coalitions that could block some of these outrageous plans that Todd Strozier has created. I mean, we've watched him shut down the community health care clinics, cut prosecutors and police, hire friends and family by the dozens at six-figure salaries, raise taxes to record levels. You know, that's been done with the board's consent. And so this February election, you know, whether Mike is there or not, that's the key. We will know if Cook County is finally ready for reform 14 months from now, because that's when voters have a chance to elect a new board president and also to vote against the commissioners who have enabled Strozier to carry out these policies. So we'll see if people are, you know, have finally had enough.
Any thought maybe you putting your hat back in the ring for Cook County board president?
Well, that's a decision I'll make this summer. I don't have to make it now, but it's certainly something I'll consider strongly. And I think, you know, the key is, I think we'll be independent voters coming out in the dead of winter, which is when the Democratic machine schedules elections to discourage independents from voting. A lot of people don't like voting in primaries for whatever reason, and, you know, coming in and declaring their affiliation. But the bottom line is, if you want change, if you want to stop these tax increases and abuses and corruption, the FBI investigations that we've seen, you know, at the county, then, you know, people have to, you know, take a Democratic ballot in February 2nd, the middle of winter, and vote. And that's going to be the key.
That's the final word from Forrest Claypool, who is the Cook County Commissioner from the 12th District. You can go onto his website, forrestclaypool.com. That's forrestclaypool.com. Commissioner Claypool, thank you very much for your work, and thank you so much for talking to us here on Outside the Loop.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
This is Andy Herman, executive producer of Outside the Loop on Loyola University's Community Radio, 88.7 WLUW.
And this is your host, Mike Steven, and right now we're listening to the local music of the Icy Demons. IcyDemons.com is their website, along with their MySpace page, myspace.com/IcyDemons. Some cool, interesting, ethereal, trancy, but some
ambience.
Beats in there. They even say that they're very hard to define.
Oh,
but they're
good.
So
we don't have to.
Yeah, right. Tomorrow night's Bottom Lounge. They're playing 8 p.m. OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is our website. That is the site you can use to get in touch with us and send us some of your music. If you're a local musician or if you're in a band here in Chicago, we would love to feature some of your music. OutsideTheLoopRadio.com also for pictures, video, and audio archives of the program. You can also subscribe to the podcast of the show. Speaking of music, Andy, the holidays are soon approaching, and
yes,
boy, we would love to have some local holiday music here on OTL.
We want a bunch of it. We want to be DJs.
That's
coming
right.
up around Christmas time.
The Christmas show. We want to play Jay and do cheesy FM radio jock stuff and play a lot of your Christmas songs. Mm-hmm. So if you have any original songs, if you have any songs that you've covered, send us some of those through OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. We would love to hear your local holiday tunes.
Yes. And you know what, Mike?
What's that, sir?
You know, I mentioned before that I had to bring something up here in our show segue.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of has something to do with segues.
What would that be?
Well, we were talking last week, OTL number 114, with Rob Sadowski of the Active Transportation Alliance. And there was something you said in one of your questions that just really struck me funny.
There has been a big push for alternative modes of transportation, like bicycles and, of course, walking. We see segues everywhere.
Now, what world are you living in?
Segways.
You see segways everywhere?
Like downtown, people are taking segway tours. You see some cops on segways. There's segways all over the place.
There's a few. I've seen a couple cops, a couple tourists, but yeah, it's all downtown. I don't see them out in the neighborhoods just going to the Jewels on their segways.
It seems like whenever I'm downtown, though, you know, like the Loop downtown, or Michigan Avenue downtown, there are people on segways, you know? That's just my... You don't see people on segways. What the hell is wrong with you?
I've seen a few. I don't know what's wrong with you.
We see segways everywhere. All right, enough of that. There are segways everywhere. We have more to do here at Outside the Loop Radio as Andy is going to get out his segway here and ride outside of the soundproof booth down Division Street. Stay tuned. We'll hear some more music from the Icy Demons. Some local music here. They're playing again tomorrow night at the Bottom Lounge. More to do here on Outside the Loop Radio on 88.7 WLUW. Now that Barack Obama is set to take office in the very near future, on the national scene, the talk has been, of course, about the nation's economy. Locally, however, we are talking about the economy, but there's also a lot of discussion about an Obama presidency and how it might impact the Chicago public school system. On the line with us to talk about just that subject is Paul Boker. Paul is an education reporter for Chi-Town Daily News. You can check out that website at chitowndailynews.org. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, let's talk about this. Here in Chicago, people are talking a lot. They're really excited about seeing educational reform. Why all the excitement over Barack Obama?
I think the Chicago connection here between Barack, of course, and Michelle, who went to a Chicago public school at Whitney Young, I've never seen such excitement. You know, when Obama got elected, I've just never seen such excitement. Many of the CPS officials were actually at the celebration at Grant Park, and it seems like everybody, and race doesn't matter here, whether it's black, white, or Asian, you know, everybody across the board is truly excited about his presidency, but certainly around Chicago, where school reform has been such a buzzword for quite a long time here, that after Barack gets through the financial crisis that he's in the middle of, as well as some of the foreign issues, things that they have to deal with, I know there's a great hope within the city that he can help do something in the way of educational funding on the federal level that really hasn't been done before.
What do you think is the most exciting element that local educators are pumped for? Is there one thing that really stands out among the education community in terms of what to expect from an Obama presidency?
I think the really big thing, and of course I've been dealing with that in the last year and beyond, you know, including the boycott issue over funding, I think the one thing that they're really pumped up about is not only being from Chicago or living here the last few years, but also being an Illinois senator, he knows what the educational funding problems are, not only in Chicago, but in the entire state, where everything is based off of the property taxes. So I think that maybe a lot of the top officials feel that they have an ear in the federal government that maybe they didn't have before.
In terms of funding here in Chicago, what is it like? Because I think we hear about the money situation, and obviously there is a money situation, and how schools require more money each year, and certainly that is true. But how well off are we? How bad off are we here in Chicago?
I think the big thing in Chicago specifically is because everything rolls off, not everything, but the majority of the money they get rolls off the property tax. And if you go to the suburbs where the homes are bigger and the properties are bigger, there's more tax revenue coming into the education system because of that. And so when you get to urban areas like a Chicago, you know, the values of that go down. And so everybody has been citing this cost, but that's why they feel that there is $10,000 per year less spent for a Chicago public school student than maybe there would be in the suburbs, simply because of the property tax values.
Do you think then, with Obama now in the White House or soon to be in the White House, and people here hoping that Chicago and Illinois can get more money for the schools, is that a reasonable expectation, or is that an unreasonable expectation with the economy like it is?
Right. I think right now, as we sit here right now, it's pretty unreasonable because his education plan, which will have nothing to do with property tax values or state funding, his education plan calls for an additional $19 billion in federal funding for education. Well, already they're spending $54 billion. So you add $19 billion, and he wants to do that not in additional taxes, but cutting other programs. So this is the great balance in that he and his financial team are going to have over there, is that they want to do all these things, but certainly they can't increase taxes, so they're going to have to balance it out with other things. I think as we sit here right now, it's going to be really tough to do that. But No Child Left Behind law, which has never been fully funded, I know this is one of their goals, that they want to spend a lot more money and time on the No Child Left Behind Act, and it will come up for renewal during his term. But also Barack is very big into the charter schools, as Mayor Daley is, and what's happening in the city a lot. So he had a plan, his education plan, was also to put a lot more money into charter schools nationwide, not just in Chicago, but nationwide.
Yeah, that No Child Left Behind Act is something that I wanted to talk to you about. As you said, it was an act that was implemented under the Bush administration, and it will be up for renewal in the Obama administration. But it's also an act that has been heavily criticized by a lot of people. Is there any indication or any glimpse into the future of what Barack Obama might do on this No Child Left Behind issue?
He's really kind of avoided, like tell us what it's going to be, you know, 4 years from now or 8 years from now. There hasn't really been a direct answer on that. I know that funding keeps coming up, and NCLB has to be funded, you know, no question about that. But it's just as a general person, one of the requirements of No Child Left Behind Act is that standard scores have to go up 7% every year, and that's just not realistic. And so what has happened, and a lot of criticisms, is that the states are dummying down the tests so that they can meet that 7%. And eventually, I think it's in 2013 or 14, eventually that is supposed to be 100%. And, you know, common sense tells you that there is never going to be 100% of all of our students in the entire nation meeting state standards on a standard test.
What's the local reaction from the No Child Left Behind Act? Has it helped or has it hurt the local schools here in Chicago?
I think a lot of it has helped. You know, we see Chicago Public Schools has gone up in the ISAT test 7 straight years so certainly there has been some improvement in that area. But, of course, you have to balance it against, is the test as hard as it was 7 years ago? What are they doing with the test? But every time people talk about No Child Left Behind Act, it's the funding. It always comes down to the funding, that there isn't enough funding to make this happen. There isn't enough funding for development of teachers, to get more teachers, and just basically to get better test scores and make kids smarter, that there isn't enough money available to do that. Now, some of this is people just crying wolf. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough money. But a lot of this is pretty realistic. President Bush pushed you know, for the No Child Left Behind Act almost as soon as he got in office 8 years ago. And so now they're going to, you know, when they do a new Child Left Behind Act, they're going to have to deal with all of this stuff, and they're going to have to make it realistic, and they're going to just have to make sure that the funding is there for it.
I hear you. Well, this is just one issue, this issue of education that will face the incoming President Barack Obama. And we wanted to check in with Paul Boker, who is an education reporter for Chi-Town Daily News, about the local reaction on the upcoming Obama presidency and how it might impact the Chicago public school system. Again, Paul Boker, an education reporter for Chi-Town Daily News. Check it out at chitowndailynews.org. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.
See what happens with President Obama in the White House and education here in Chicago. Thanks for listening to Outside the Loop Radio. This has been show number 115.
You okay there, buddy?
I don't know what's happening. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Mike Steven.
And I'm your executive producer, Andy Herman.
Nice. You sound really good there.
Thanks.
Like me. Copyright 2008.
Albert James Productions.
Stay tuned because Slacky J and the Reggae Vibe Show is coming up right now here on WLUW Chicago. Slacky rocked the Tunes Christmas party last night, Tunes Bar and Grill.
Yeah, I heard you. He tore the roof off the sucker.
He was out of control, man. That's what he does, though. That's what he does. What did I say? I said copyright, right?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I'm just going to keep going.
We got our names, credits.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to DJ Goldie G, Dave Goldman, the OTL theme song composer. Thanks to Lawyer Danny, who is our legal counsel, and you never know when we just might need him. We are on the air every Friday at 6 p.m. here on WLUW. OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is our website. Be sure to check it out, and be sure to send us some of your holiday tunes, and we'll talk to you again next week right here on Outside the Loop Radio.